No, be small interrogation.
Anyway, guys, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Super welcome to the show. Well, let's just start. Let's talk about the Olympics, though. I'm sure the big conversation has to do with the 4x100 relay team. Let me start with you, Muftau. Help us understand what happened to the 4x100 relay team. We understand they were disqualified, but even before that, they played, what, was it Sith? And that does not even guarantee them a place in the final. Talk to me about the 4x100 relay team and why this performance, as described by Fuseni, is their worst since they got together.
I'll just take it from the latter part. The worst since they got together. Since 2019, I've seen this team do 38.33 seconds. I've seen them do 38.29 seconds. I've seen them do 38.08 seconds. 38.07 seconds. And many of us actually believe that this was a group that could even do sub 38. So if they're able to do sub 38, that is a potential medal running that they would be doing. And over the years, there appears to be a certain level of consistency in terms of their performance. It's only been this year that this group of athletes have not been able to show us the quality that we've witnessed from them in the last 5 years. The last World Champs that took place in Budapest, unfortunately, Ghana did not participate, so it didn't give us a perfect picture as what the likes of James Tazi were coming into the picture with. But with someone like Joseph Paul Amoah, with someone like Benjamin Azamati, who are the experienced athletes in this group, because in the last Tokyo Olympics, we had Sean Safo Entry, and then there was also Emmanuel Yeboua, who was part of that group of athletes that went for the Tokyo Olympics. But they were not available. Sean has been part of this team for many, many years. He's now gotten to a certain stage where he doesn't represent us anymore. But one of the things that I look at and I always go like, this team has never been together for a major competition for, say, a week or two. And also, every major competition that Team Ghana is going, we always appear to have different group of athletes. I'll just take you back to 2021, when the team went to Celestia to run for the relays to qualify for the Oregon Championship. We had a different group of athletes. We went to Oregon, presented different group of athletes. We went to Budapest, we presented different group of athletes. We come to Ghana for the African Games. I don't know if I should mention their names, because when we went to Oregon, there was Joseph Mainu, there was Sean Safanchi, there was Joseph Paul Amoah, then there was Benjamin Azamati. Then we went to Budapest. James Tazi was the athlete who came in. Then there was also Edwin Gadai. Then we went to we came to Ghana for the African Championship. Solomon Hammond was the one who came into the picture. There was also Edwin Gadai, who was also part of that team to race. Then we've gone to when we went to Celestia, in Bahamas, for the relays to qualify. It was also another group of athletes. That was when Ibrahim Fuseni came into the picture. Isaac Bocho came into the picture. Isaac Bocho did the back straight. Ibrahim Fuseni did he started the race. Then Azamati did the third leg. That was how Ghana qualified. Joseph Paul Amoah has always been the anchor. Then we went to these Olympics. Another group of athletes. Saminu comes into the picture. Gadai is no longer there. Then there's also Ibrahim Fuseni, who, to me, in recent times, has been one of the Ghana's fastest athletes. But like Dana Kwanto will always tell you, you require a certain level of experience to compete at a certain stage. If you've not been part of a team that has competed for a very long time, it is always, always difficult. This conversation has become quite repetitive. It's more of a broken record. We talk about the challenges every now and then. But if you take a look at the race again, it was quite chaotic race, right? Where almost all the teams, as many as seven of the teams, had baton problems in this championship.
So it wasn't peculiar to Ghana?
It wasn't peculiar to Ghana. It's the reason why Jamaica is not making the final. Let's not forget, in the last Tokyo Olympics, Jamaica finished fourth. In fact, Canada, they were quite lucky, because at some stage, Canada was leading the race. They had baton issues. China came and took over, and they went all through. And people often underrate China because we hardly see their individual athletes race. But if you go back to the last Olympics, Tokyo, they were bronze medalists. Italy won the gold. Canada finished second with silver. China finished third. Jamaica were fourth. Germany were fifth in the last Olympics. So if you are in a group of China, Canada, in fact, Canada are world champions. That's one thing many of us have actually forgotten. Then you go all the way back to Jamaica, who have the world record and the Olympics record when it comes to 4x1. So we were in a group that was quite tough. And also, it was also a race that was quite chaotic. And you heard Joseph Paul Amoa allude to the fact that maybe the noise, they should have taken advantage of that noise so that it could help or spur them on to go all the way out there and deliver. But unfortunately, some things happened, like the baton exchange between the third leg and then the anchor, Fuseni and then Joseph Paul Amoa. The challenge was that by the time Fuseni got to Joseph Paul Amoa, he had already taken off. And when Joseph Paul Amoa takes off, it's difficult for you to catch him. When he took off even late, he came and passed as many athletes as possible. And some of us were even arguing that he had finished fifth until the disqualification came. The baton exchanges took place at a point where we were out of the legitimate zone to exchange the baton. That is why Ghana got disqualified. And even in any case, as I mentioned the times earlier, 38.33, 38.29, this was 38.62. This is unlike Ghana's quartet in the last 5 years. So clearly, I don't know if there's anything that can be done. I remember a few weeks ago when I was having a conversation with an official of Ghana Athletics, and he was saying that when it comes to batons, it's a big problem. Players don't want to concede penalties, but they concede penalties.
Yeah.
It happened. Yeah. So it happened. And it was quite unfortunate that they couldn't make it. They were in the final, in the last Olympics. This time around, they couldn't make it. It's quite unfortunate.
I mean, Sisi, let me just come to you, though.
Yeah.
It can happen. You know, it happens to the Jamaicans, and they couldn't qualify to the finals. But for us, it's almost like every time we see this 4x100 relay team, you know, compete, there's that issue always comes up.
Yeah,
and even though we've seen different sets of athletes compete in the 4x100, the problem remains that the baton exchange is still a challenge for them.
Absolutely, it really is. And when Mufta was speaking about the different sets of teams, right, that in itself can be a problem. But I don't think that is the main problem, because the sport is brutal, it's cruel as well. When an event presents itself, you are very likely, if for any reasonable group of people or country, you are very likely to present your best foot at the time the event has presented itself. I have no doubt that the four gentlemen who were running in that relay deserve to be there. I have no doubt that the four gentlemen who were running in the relay had very, very good times, and they are fast enough to be in the team. So the boys individually, put them together, looked like for a sprint, of 4x100 made sense to me in the way they were put together.
They were qualified to be there.
However, if it is the baton change, if it's the sprint, there is more to it than the raw speed of the athletes. It is all about execution of the relay, execution of the changes, execution of when athletes are taking off, execution of how, which hand you are dropping the baton into, execution of how quickly you have to switch the receiving hand to the hand that you want to comfortably hold. So it's all the practice. It's all of that. And all of these things have got, in more serious countries, have got experts who, through science and different methods, are able to coach it, are able to teach it, are able to take athletes through it, right? And without mentioning it, we've not necessarily been able to put our teams together for a period of time for them to have that telepathy. Look, even for those who are doing it, they are failing at it. So it is not out of place. It's not for nothing that for, what, 4 out of 10 times, Ghana have had relay problems.
Now
5 out of 11. Ghana have had issues with baton changing, irrespective of who comes into the team or who remains. It's a problem. And for some of the boys in this team who were at the Olympics, they've been through this phase
yeah.
before. So you wonder how that is playing on their minds and who is working on those minds. We live in a country where nobody cares about sports psychologists or all of that. Like, we don't care about those who are going to train them. We don't care about their trainings, their coaches. We don't even care more about the mental part of the game because it is huge. We don't have that in the Black Stars. And for these athletes who have consistently failed to meet the mark, we know the potential. And that's the painful thing. We know how good they can be. Look, that semi-final too, Ghana could have won it. Ghana should have been part of the top minimum. When you look at the raw, why fans do they laugh? Why they laugh for there?
No, you have athletes who do 10.02, 10.05, 10.08.
Minimum. At the time Saminu was handing the baton to his man, the Chinese who was winning was also handing his own over. At that point, China no near any a pair. Then China no be better pass we. But you see, it goes way more than that. And for me, look, they are athletes, they are professionals. They must do better. But the truth of the matter is, as a country, we've not given them the opportunity to be able to be competitive against these people. The times we put them in camp, the resources we give them, the expertise we provide them when the games... And you see, this Olympics is the most painful to watch because we've always known that these 8 athletes are our athletes in the... Look, and for the 8 athletes, Saf, we have 8 because 4 of them are running relay. Yeah. And then Rose is also competing high jump.
Yeah.
The sector ministry or as a nation, could we not have dedicated some reasonable resources for these 8 athletes for them to just put them in shape, give them what, because we've missed out on massive opportunities. Rose could have won a medal for us. This 4x1 team could have gone to the final, and then who knows what could happen. So for me, it's a missed opportunity, massive one. And the sad thing is that next 4 years, when we go to LA, and by God's grace, I'll be in LA, you call me or whoever will call me that, why did we execute the battle well? And I'll tell you that, 4 years ago, we had this discussion. That when I was in Ghana. Today, I'm in LA enjoying. And they're asking me, I said, whoever will call me. So maybe if I had time, Karim.
What is guaranteed? Somebody
what is guaranteed?
You'll be in LA.
Me, I'll be in LA, God willing. And somebody will call me and ask me, Sicho, what's happened? I'll be like, bugger. Nothing happened. It's the same. Because, like I said, it's not the first time. And we are not learning. And the saddest part is that we keep letting down some of our most talented athletes. And you see, the years are going by and they're not getting any younger. And they will finish their time as athletes. And then the talent would have been wasted. And as a country, would benefit nothing. Can you imagine the whole Olympics? Ghana, we don't, Yembe won.
No.
You watch Olympics 4 days and then you see Ghana won. That was at 20 seconds, then it's done. You watch Olympics, then you see Ghana won. Somebody will jump, then the clip is gone. That's all. We need to do a lot more. And for me, Charlie, it's sad, it's disappointing. But yeah, I'm not surprised it happened.
Let me just mention that Fentu has joined us all the way from Paris. He's joined us via Zoom. We'll get to hear from him very shortly. But actually, let me just get your first thoughts on this, though. The team camped in Strasbourg for, I think, about 2 weeks or so before they went. 10 days before they went to the Olympic Village, and we spoke to the trainer, just forgotten his name, professor. Exactly. And there was a lot of emphasis on getting the team to be well drilled when it comes to the baton exchange. And it looks like all the videos we saw of them in training, it looks like that's what all they were training on, because as far as the sprint is concerned, the guys were individually good to execute it. Do you think maybe we have a problem with coaching when it comes to our 4x100 relay team?
Without doubt, there is a problem with coaching. I mean, Prof. Andrew himself knows it. The athletes themselves know it, that to reach the level that they want to get to, you have to invest in the level of trainers that the best are used to. You can't change that. You are not the one to come and change the status quo and say that we are going to use Prof. Andrew alone, or we are going to use the friends, the coaches who are now their friends. And I think that was an aspect of the thing, because whilst these guys were excelling at the university, The coaches who had helped them to get there were people who had essentially become family, had become friends and all of that. But these are purely professional decisions that you have to make. Fortunately for us, quite a number of them are exposed to some level of elite training, so you can say that. But for me, I think that we're making excuses to a certain extent, right? I'll come to the bit about the sports ministry, but I don't think the changes that... I don't think what happened yesterday had anything to do with the fact that we are making too many changes at the team. Look, we've seen teams shatter Olympic records, world records, by making changes, introducing fresh names to established squads. And those changes actually were the ones that took them to... The Jamaican team that won the Olympics in 2008, before the final, they made a change. Usain Bolt replaced Dwight Thomas for that final in 2008. We know that how that ended. They made that change, but it was immaterial. If anything at all, it went in their favor because
So actually, I don't want to truncate your thoughts, but the point is that you are referring to a Jamaican team, an all-rounded team, where they trained their athletes. No matter who steps in, you hardly find a flaw.
I'm coming.
We do not have that.
I just want to establish that people can even make last-minute changes. Right. 2012 as well, there was another change. This time you had Nesta Carter, Michael Freita, Johan Blich, and then the ever-present Bolt. In 2016, I think Nicolas Ashmead, or was it Nick Ashmead was the one, was that new face in it. So I'm just, and all of this was because after every major meet, the World Championships, the Diamond Leagues in between, a new talent will pop up whose times are such that you cannot ignore them. I think the problem we had here was perhaps the lack of preparation and then the field execution on the day. Because only in May, this team ran a better time than they did yesterday. Now, if you look at the split, Saminu ran 10.63, Azamati 9.43, Fuseni, Joe Paul, Fuseni 9.21, and then Joe Paul 9.35. All very good times by themselves. I think the problem here was the execution and the precious seconds that we lost there. Because look, and for those asking why we did not have Botio or we didn't stay with the teams from 2019, or the sort of time Saminu has been running, you can't ignore him and take him out of the best four. He's one of the top 200 meters runners for Ghana now. The idea that he will not be part of the relay team is simply, it makes no sense. So he had to be there. And he proved his mettle. Look, as at the time he was changing, passing the baton to Azamati, he was neck and neck with
Canada,
the Chinese, who,
and even the Canadians,
who eventually won the race. So our first leg, we ran it well. The problem was the baton change. And you see, I've seen a couple of questions about how but the last time, Azamati ran the back straight, I think, in Bahamas. So why did we have to change for him to come and run now? Look, I get that. He was excellent, I think, on the third leg at that time. And if you look at the time that he ran, he was able to recover a deficit of 0.15. And then by the time he ran, by the time he was done, created some gulf between himself and the Nigerian. And that's how come we won that particular race. But even this time, he still ran 9.43. He ran 9.43 here, which isn't shabby. Fuseni also did. The problem was the precious seconds that we lost then, between that changeover and how, and it was unpardonable how he missed the hand. Look, these things happen. We get it. Mistakes happen, but it should not have happened, right? It should not have happened. And if you look at even the times that Fuseni and Joe Paul ran, the reason this happened was because we have, there is a lack of intentional and thoughtful leadership in Ghana.
The reason why they failed to...
Yes. Execute. There is a lack of intentional and thoughtful problem-solving leadership in Ghana. This year alone, right? Before this event, everyone was talking about how, oh, we've dropped the baton, or we've had this mishap 4 out of the last 10 races. Every single radio show talked about it. TV, online, everywhere, podcasts, people spoke about it. It was somebody's job to take that in. If you like, don't ask for us, we are fools, we don't know anything. Don't listen to the jokers on radio. It is your job to look at the history of this team and find a way to solve their problems. Solving that problem required getting them additional support staff. Right? And you see, in football, accomplished people, and I say accomplished people, era-defining people like Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, have the humility to accept that for something as basic as a throw-in, they can't fix it. So Jurgen Klopp will tell Liverpool, hire me a corner kick expert, a free kick expert, and the club will pay. Because over there, they recognize specialization and they respect it. And they know that if you are not a psychologist, you cannot do this job. If your job is not to help people, or if you haven't proven in the past that you have a track record of putting certain ideas to work within specific contexts and producing certain results, you won't get said jobs. So there's been before this, there was an issue of this team dropping the baton. An aspect of it was psychological, an aspect of it was technical. And you see, we saw this. It happened here at the African Games in Accra. It happened again. When we went to the World Relays in Bahamas, it happened. At the May. It happened. If we had thoughtful and intentional leadership, what they would have noticed was this. Destin, you cannot put Leo Malmsmos there and expect him to go and fix it, because, in fact, as for Leo Malmsmos himself, he has issues to answer from the Common Games in Miami. This is a job the people we have put there in the last 5 years have failed. World Athletics in 2021, Tokyo, African Games, Bahamas, and now in France. Clearly, it is beyond the competence of the people in charge of this team.
All right.
Let me go to this thing. This is an extension of the general attitude and the support system that does not exist for our athletes. And for me, I'm going to end by saying that if I have any advice to Rosie Eboa, Samino, and all of those, your future, as for Rosie Eboa, your future is like Deborah Akwa, if you don't advise yourself. Samino, your future is like Benjamin Azamati. Do you know what happened to them? They were breaking national records as students because they had access to elite trainers who were paid for by the school. They had access to quality materials or infrastructure that they could run on, so that when you run that time, it will be recognized internationally. That's how come, no matter how fast Edwin Gadai runs on Ghanaian tracks, he's only relevant in conversations that are insignificant. Because if he runs 995, 99 whatever, it is on tracks that are not internationally certified. So these universities picked our students, excelled, they broke national records. In fact, we're looking at all-timers. I mean, people take what they've done for granted, but in the last 5 years, we've had them breaking national records for fun. If you are not a generational talent, you can't, you won't dare. There is a reason those are national records. But since these guys left school, they do not have the money to go and fly and compete at the World Relays and these events by themselves. So you are beginning to see a certain stagnation, in certain cases, drop in performance levels, because he can't be a coach by himself. If you do not belong to an athletics club out there, the country will leave you for dead. And 2 years after that, the same Ghanaians will start. You see the things they are saying to Benjamin Azamati now?
Specs.
They will be saying the same things to Abdul Samino. The things we're saying, and you see, for Rosie Eboa, has heads, because as recent as June, what was the mark she cleared? 1.97. She qualified. I went to speak to Bafo Fuseni. He said they were trying to get her coach too. We spoke about that here before the games. We were trying to get her coach to go. How much would it cost to engage someone of that level for a month and say, come and train her for these games? How much? Take it. But we are seeing politicians there who are there on taxpayers' money. We've seen some of them. We don't need to mention it, but they are there. You can send a minister
fly
there.
With them? How did you see
you
them?
You can send a minister there. You can send some, but you can't afford to pay for a trainer to go there.
Yeah.
You can't afford to pay for coaches to how they got here. We know that some of them had to pre-finance their appearance at some of these tournaments. My advice to them, Rosie Eboa, save yourself if you have that opportunity. If there is a chance to jump ship, naturalize and register and start competing for another country, do it. Because you have a talent that should not go waste because of someone's incompetence.
All right. Hopefully we can take some lessons from that. Solomon has joined us. Fento is also on. Let me see. Maybe move to give me some guidance there. Should we do Solomon before we get to Fento?
No. Since we are still on Ghana, so let's Solomon just give us a minute.
Okay, Solomon,
so we'll
give us
Fento,
a minute.
Then we'll come to you. Solomon, are you having a party?
Thank you, guys. How are you doing?
We are great, Solomon. We are good in Ghana. We are joining in your celebration. We'll let you have a holiday. We'll get to talk to you about that very, very shortly. Please stay on for us for some few minutes, all right? Please stay on for us for some few minutes. Let me get Fent too. Fent, if you're still on, if you can just come back to us. The guys have spoken extensively. Is talk about the coaching and whether we have the people training the boys are competent. There's also talk about, you know, the constant change in the athletes for the 4x100 relay. From where you sit, though, you saw the team in training and you were clearly surprised about the execution. Let me just get your thoughts on that. Fento, if you're still there. Is Fento there?
Hi, Mushba. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, great. Well, let's hear from you.
So I think in terms of the race that I saw yesterday, I think even from the athletes themselves and their own perspective, it is quite obvious that this was a less than ideal race, even from their own standards. And it is not exactly the sort of race that even they would have anticipated. No matter how poor the preparations were leading to this competition, the athletes themselves, deep within, know that they should have done better. And I think anyone that criticizes the performance of this team, even from the individual athlete's point of view, it would be justified to say that despite the well-documented limitations that this team has, I beg your pardon, yesterday's race
why?
Was still...
You go meet Noalaus, Anna. Noalaus give you this thing.
yesterday's race was substantially still a big letdown. It doesn't matter how poor they prepared. It doesn't matter... We know this team and the pedigree that they have. We know what they're used to. We know that they've made every single major final of every major competition that they have been to. And all of the baton issues that they've had have happened in major finals, but they have had no issues getting to the finals. This is the first time where the baton issues have cost them a place in the final. And I think that is why the disappointment is palpable. Yesterday when I met the team in the mix zone, they didn't want to speak because they were visibly very upset, rightly so. They have very high expectations of themselves, but it didn't come together. The baton, and I tweeted even before the end of the race that it was a messy race because you change the baton three times in a relay race. Three times. Ghana had issues exchanging baton in two of those three times. A third, people don't recover from one baton change issue. How much more two? That is literally throwing your entire race away. And that's how bad the situation was yesterday. And for me, I think the baton issues in track and field, it's chemistry. How well do the team members know each other? Where does a team member want to the baton? Where do they have to take off? At what point does the incoming runner have to shout for the hand? Even the shouting and the calls for a hand to receive the baton, there are different strategies to it. It can be noisy. And Joe Paul mentioned that it was very noisy yesterday, so it's kind of difficult to hear the calls. This is the very reason a lot of different people have different ways of calling out for the hand for the baton. Everybody is shouting hand at the same time. Hand, hand at the same time. Maybe they could have developed a different strategy.
One sa.
There you go. It sounds nothing like hand. So you can't confuse that with another person shouting the same thing. So there are so many different ways that we definitely should look at innovating and trying to find solutions to what has been a perennial issue. So chemistry is important, and the chemistry comes to play because despite the 25 days or so they've spent in training, we know that Rashid has never run in a competitive relay with these boys. And I should make the point that it is neither here nor there for anyone to assume or suggest that he should not have run. He's the fastest in that team. If he didn't run and there were issues, I think we would absolutely kill the authorities for dropping their fastest runner. We will destroy them. So they made the right decision by bringing in Saminu, even though he had never run with this particular team. He ran in Cameroon, but he didn't run with this team. In Cameroon, there was no Joe Paul, there was no Azamati, there was no... So it was a completely new team that they had out there in Cameroon. So this is his first time. And even in Cameroon, he ran ankle leg. He was starting, and he started brilliant. And Sicho is very right when he says that by the time he stretches out to hand over the baton the first time, he was level with the Chinese runner who eventually won the race. So there was no issue with Rashid's speed. But as I like to say again, the relay is not about who has the fastest athletes. Having speed and exchanging and stretching the baton and the exchange zone, they are mutually inclusive. They have to go together in order to get the results. If you don't get it in tandem, you don't get the chemistry right, speed alone will not save you. Sometimes it will, but in other times, and most of the time, it will not. And that's what we saw in the Jamaica thing, in the Jamaica race, in the same heat. That Jamaica have the speed, the fastest man in the world, but the moment they messed up the baton, they couldn't recover, no matter how fast Keyshawn Thompson is this season. So baton is very technical. So we mess up the first one. We wasted precious seconds there, milliseconds, trying to... So he calls out Azamati. Azamati misses the hand. Rashid misses the hand the first time, then tries again, and then he gets it a second time. Azamati ran smoothly, and his change with Fuseni was very smooth. That was the smoothest of the exchanges. But when Fuseni also took the baton, he stumbled a little bit. Then he gave the baton to Joe Paul outside of the changeover zone. Joe Paul took off. His incoming runner was nowhere near him when he took off. And I'm not sure exactly what happened with that. But then again, he still came, fifth? So even if he had stayed and took that baton from him inside the zone, he probably would have finished seventh. And whether disqualification or not, Ghana still would have no chance. In fact, their entire race that Ghana ran, that he too, was the slowest. And that's why Jamaica finished fourth and still didn't qualify. Because the fourth and the fifth finishers in heat one were faster. In fact, the fifth finisher in heat one was actually faster than the fourth finisher in heat two. So that entire race was so slow. And it was sort of baton issues. So, you know, I have to say that, first of all, this is the worst race I have ever seen from this team ever since they came together in 2019. This is the worst race in terms of execution. I don't think speed is an issue. I think we all acknowledge that speed is not an issue. They have enough speed in them to actually have won this heat if they got the baton exchanges right.
So is it coaching? Is it coaching there?
Because that led them down big time.
Yeah. So is it coaching? I actually was making reference to that. Is it a case of coaching, the team not having what Achu describes as, you know, people who are competent to guide the athlete in this regard?
I think it's not just a coaching issue. I think it's a lot of different issues. But I think, yes, definitely coaching could be an issue. Because there are certain things that I understand happened in camp that did not necessarily augur well with, and that were evident from all of the training. And listen, like, we know that relay camps are important. See, people go to camps for a month. They spend 6 weeks in camp. To be honest, this team, I have to tell you guys this, we've never put them in a relay camp for as long as we did in the lead up to these Olympic Games. Yes, not ideal, but I will hold a bit of respite for the French embassy and all the athletics authorities for what they did. I think this is the longest time our relay team has ever trained ahead of a relay competition. They spent 10 days in Strasbourg and spent 15 days in Paris before their race. That is 25 days nonstop. And only two of them competed. The rest of them, all they did was train for relays. And how many, that whole time.
How many races did they participate?
Husseini, both you as Joe Paul, they had no individual races. So every single day they went to training, that's all they worked on. They just worked on relay exchanges, speed, execution for 25 days non-stop. But there were issues with individual athletes, you know, maybe not getting, there were issues about some of the athletes not being loud enough in their calls, or maybe overrunning the zone and getting too close to the other athletes. So all of these things could have been fixed with coaching. So I agree that coaching is a bit of an issue, and I think that's what they had been working on. Unfortunately, it didn't come together. Then there's also the issue of chemistry, understanding and knowing the team members. And I think that because of the fact that the team is also undergoing transition, some of these things happen. But I've followed this team long enough to know, to be the one to stand up for them and say that this team has given us a lot of joy in the past. Some of it even undeserved. Honestly, they've given us more joy than we've invested in them. Like I told you, in the last 5 years, they have been to every single major competition and they have made the final in every single one of them. When they haven't made the final, which was in Birmingham, it because administrative errors cost them. People who are supposed to do their job didn't do their job. So credit to Ghana Athletics, whatever they did to keep this team in the limelight, to bring the love that people have for athletics back, to actually give Ghanaians a reason to dream, I think that's massive credit. Between 2004 and 2019, there was never a period we went to any competition with any hope that we were capable of winning a relay competition. Never. That is a long time. It's a 17-year period where Ghana had not been in the limelight or been considered threats in any competition whatsoever. The last time we were a serious threat in relays was back in 2003 at the African Games in Abuja. Mm. After that, we took a massive decline. These boys have made us dream again.
Yeah.
And what I'm just going to say is that mistakes happen. We saw Jamaica did not qualify. We have the fastest man. They had another man in the final. No qualification. So, they are not killing themselves. They've accepted it. For the first time in 20 years, Jamaica did not make an Olympic final in the relays. It's not that it is good, but it just tells you that mistakes happen. And I'm saying for this team, this is the first time in the last 5 years that they have failed to make a major final in any major competition. And for that reason, I think for all of the joy and the consistency they've had in the past, they deserve a mistake or two. They deserve respite. They deserve encouragement. They deserve our respect. They've worked hard to be here. Every single member of that team wanted this more than anybody else. this was a mistake that happened. It's happened consistently, but it's not the only team. And I think that what has to happen is that we need to take another look at how we work on our baton changes. There is evolution in baton execution, and it's happening in Asia. That's why China and Japan, you don't know a single one of their athletes. And when I mention them, people are laughing because they think I'm just having taken a piss. But the truth is, you look at China and you look at Japan, you don't know any of their athletes. And yet in every relay competition, they are there. I told you people, China were a big threat in Ghana's heat. And people thought I was just messing with them. They won the heat. I think people have short memory that in Tokyo, China also won the same heat, which still had Canada and Andre Degrassi in it. Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah,
China are medalists from Tokyo 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
They won a medal. People forget that. They got a bronze medal Tokyo.
That's true. They won a bronze medal. Fenn, we want to try and connect with Solomon in Botswana very shortly. So, Great. So, Fenn, very, very exhaustive, conversation there, submission there. Much credit to the team for the performance they put up. Just to mention that Daniel Kranti has also joined us now. We want to switch attention to the African who has made us proud in the 200 meters. And the African who has made us proud in the 200 meters. So...
Why did you disgrace yourself yesterday?
I said the African.
When you disgrace yourself yesterday,
so you are not proud. You are not proud of Botswana's success.
This success by association.
But you can't be proud that
this success by association
athletes and 200 meter athletes. We can't push them to do what Botswana are doing and say we are proud that Botswana have done.
So you are happy for them. We should say we are happy for them.
We can be happy for their success. But we are not proud that we are failures and they are successful. We are happy for them.
So we are just happy for them.
Don't own it and say we are proud.
Yeah.
So we are just happy for them.
Just happy for them.
End it there.
Okay, we are just happy for them.
Yes.
Okay.
Very happy for them.
I am proud.
Of course, you'll be.
Interesting. Daniel, let me just get your thought quickly before I can just switch to this conversation and connect with Solomon.
No, Achu, Situ, and Tahiru. It's not about camping. You understand? You can take a group of, in fact, let me use football for an example. If you do pre-season for 8 years, and you don't play in friendly matches, you don't play matches to test the theories that you've been practicing at training, it is cost 90. You've not done anything. It is not about 30 days or 25 days of camping. How many test competitions did they go to make sure that what they were learning at the training camp would be beneficial when they reach the D-Day? How many? In the Diamond League meetings, we see they'll do everything finished, then they'll do relay. They are consistent nations that are always there. You think those people, they are not serious or they don't have sense? They know exactly what they are doing. Because yes, you can train. If you don't practice it, cost 90. And yes, you're not going to do anything. See, it's like the whole penalty shootout thing. You can tell me that passing a baton to you is easy. Yeah, it's easy. But when you add pressure, you add crowd, Oga, look at where science and data is taking common penalty shootout to. You can't leave some things to chance. And that's what we do. Look, as for the athletes, all they can do is to bring their talent. And they have. It is left with those in charge to nurture that talent and make sure that we get the best out of it. It is no coincidence that, look at the times that Joe Paul, James Dazzy, Benjamin Azamati all ran. All their record-breaking times, do you know where they were?
University.
They were university. Not Ghana University, Oboga. They were in US. Now, for Joe Paul and Azamati, compare their times post-school to their times when they were in school. It's a steady decline. Very steady. Because now the school is not in charge of training. The school is not giving them the facilities. They have to fend for themselves. And it is not, you see, it's not by chance. It's not like, it is science. It is science. 1 + 1 = 2. Fenn says this thing all the time. As for sprints and athletics, it doesn't lie. You can't get up.
You can't get up today. You are running 11.2. Then when you reach this Olympics, you think you can kabaya and go and run 9. It's a lie. It will never happen. So we are not serious. And that's where you see, that's where
what
I need listeners. That's where I need listeners to understand it from. It's not like these boys just get up and because you want to calm them for. Look, people train 2 years to take just 0.2 off their personal best. 2 years to take 0.2. And in this Olympics, we've seen how 0.01 is the difference between a gold medal and a silver medal. Everything counts. You see, everywhere in the world, they are very intentional about some of these things. Very, very, very intentional. We can't sit there and believe in things to chance. And we do it across board. This is what annoys me. It is not like it is an athletics problem. Look at the boxes. You wake up, they go eat, they go to the gym, they throw their hands, they say they are boxing. Then you take them to this thing, all of them will go and lose and you come back. Then you go at the athlete and say they are not good enough. What are you doing to nurture that talent and make sure that they can match up with the other boxers in the world? You are not doing anything. And then you are telling us that you are a boxing nation. So you know, when they give birth to your children, God just descends and he puts spiritual gloves on them and automatically they know how to fight. It doesn't work like that, though. Chief, it doesn't work like that. So we need to get serious and we need to put them on their toes. And see, this thing, I said it last night, Muftar, and I told myself, I'll say it again. You couldn't afford plane tickets and per diem to take the coach of the most promising athlete within this group, medal hopeful, the best university high jump student in the world, the best university, university high jump student in America. In America, has a personal best better than the height that used to win the bronze medal at the Olympics.
In fact, was used to win this Olympics.
Yes, you couldn't afford. I'm very happy our Botswana brother is on. You should listen to me because I am happy that, you see, they have elevated themselves from this nonsense. They are serious people and they've put money where the promise is and they are reaping benefits. But we couldn't afford plane tickets for Rossi's coach. But guess who went to watch the 4x100 guys? We could afford plane tickets for the minister and for officials to go and sit there and watch, and the purse holder to go and sit there and watch. Charlie, where are your priorities? Where are your priorities? That's the question I'm asking. Where are your priorities? You can't sit at home and watch it on TV. If you pay that money for the coach and you are sitting at home and you are watching Rose, at least even make a final. Finish fourth or fifth. Do you know the pride that he brings you? It shows you are working.
Danny, make no stretcher. The minister
Daniel,
can
let
go
me
there.
Say, let me say
and
something.
And we can still can pay. How much is it? Ghana, we don't get money, but that one day, it will be money. How much is it for Ghana to fly the coach or bring
funds,
the coach?
The money that funds athletics on the continent is not crazy money.
No.
Nigeria gave Blessing Okagbare $250,000 that produced all of the medals that we like to talk, the country was still going through austerity. And guess what? They didn't do it for one athlete.
$250,000 don't be money.
Fan, you said you want to say something.
Yes, I want to add something to what Daniel was saying about, listen, and this thing,
you could have taken fans' plane tickets and given it to the girls' coach.
Easily,
the fans will stay in Ghana and do the athletics. What happened? You did France Day there. You can use your money to do plane tickets for the coach.
But you go left the coaches' salary.
I'm not even going to talk about the coaches' issue. I want to talk about the point that Daniel just made about us not investing in the athletes and expecting magic. You see, and think about, and you see, actually, then the people will do some things and they want us to clap for them. Let's think about this mentality, okay? When the team went to the qualifying event in the Bahamas, they had to pre-finance a huge aspect of that trip to get to the Bahamas to qualify for the Olympic Games. And then they didn't even pay them per diems. Are you listening? They didn't pay them for diems to qualify. Think about it this way. When have you ever seen Black Stars or even any national team when it comes to football attend competitions without qualifiers?
Like asking Mohammed Kudus to buy his own ticket and come in.
Is it not the state that takes them? The state's responsibility is to fund the national team's participation in competitions. When have you ever heard that the Black Stars are pre-financing their qualifying campaign? The Olympic Games, nobody sleeps and wakes up in the Olympic Games. You need to qualify. The qualifying series, let's ask ourselves, which of our athletes have we ever given money to say, Azamati, go here and compete and qualify for the Olympic Games? Azamati qualified for the Olympic Games in the individual event by running crazy number of races in order to up his ranking to qualify. Every single one of them, he funded himself. You never participated in helping him or in funding the qualification, and yet when he shows up at the Olympic Games and he doesn't do well, you are disappointed. Now, this is my biggest disappointment. Yesterday, the sports minister was there at the stadium, at the Stade de France. He came in the morning. They went to the airport, whisked him away, gave him his accreditation. He came to see the IOC lounge. Okay, they have food, plenty free food. They were enjoying. No wahala. He's a big man. That's fair. My point is, after the race, he was so disappointed. And you see, and I ask myself, what did you contribute in terms of even qualifying the team here? You left them alone to go to Bahamas and pre-finance and a huge aspect of that, and didn't pay per diems. And listen to this, the day before the relay race, which was yesterday, that was when a purse holder from the Ministry of Sports then met the team and paid them per diems, and paid them per diems dating back to Bahamas, Cameroon, and then at the Olympic Games. Why did you hold on to all of these money? Whereas, perhaps, if they gave that money to them earlier, they, Azamati would have used a lot more of that to probably have, hired a better training facility, paid for a better training facility to go to. If maybe Rose had that money, she wouldn't need to come and start, come and be here in Cape Coast for 2 weeks training with the local coach when he's preparing for the Olympic Games, and probably could have been better off somewhere else. Perhaps if you pay that money, which they earned, by the way, and you see, we pay bonuses for qualifying to competition. We have never paid the athletes bonuses for qualifying to the Olympic Games. It is not a joke to qualify for the Olympic Games. Even per diem, you don't pay. And the thing that shocks me the most, why is it that in this day and age, with a vice president preaching digitization, why do we need to fly somebody
to go and give money? Why do you need to fly somebody to go and give them money? You can't do transfer. Then the thing has gone. You can't do transfer. And the last one is, see, the last one, so that we'll bring in a winner. Because I don't, I need to hear from a winner. Last point is that if, like Azamati and Co, Anka, if they qualify for the final, if like they qualify for the final, will God be so good, Anka, tap bronze medal? Where Mahama say, come and take $10,000, you say, bring the money.
Interesting. Now let me go to Solomon. Solomon is a journalist based in Botswana, because it was a really great night of first Olympic gold of all time for Botswana in Africa in the 200 meters. And the man behind the glory was Botswana's Letsile Teboho. And he is now the new 200 meters champion. His victory, of course, has been widely spoken of because he was in a race with USA's Noah Lyles, who, you know, regarded as possibly the best when it comes to 200 meters at the moment. It was a fantastic race that he put up. Solomon, thank you very much. First of all, just give us a sense of, you know, the atmosphere in Botswana at the moment following that massive victory by Teboho.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I'm loving the conversation in the studio. It's just how journalists should be. And I love this show. I want to be part of this show every day. So I don't mind. I'll always be available. I love the Ghanaians. We love you so much here. We know, I appreciate the support that we're getting from people from Ghana. Not all over Africa, but with Ghana, the relationship has been best. Just so good. Because we've seen our videos, our athletes training, dancing with the athletes from Ghana, you're related. We've also seen great appreciation from Kenya. These are the countries that I've seen that they have a very close relationship with Team Botswana at the Olympics. But coming back here home, it's just incredible. It's amazing seeing. I've seen people run around in the streets last night in Gaborone. And man, people did not watch this release at their houses. Everybody made sure that they invite friends, family. They all go out. So that they watch this race. It was just at that moment. As much as we had hope in the 100 meter, unfortunately, it did not happen. We came back for the second time in 200 because we always believed and we knew that at some point the boys were going to deliver something special for this continent and this beautiful country, Botswana.
Let's talk about the support that the state gave the athletes, if any, in particular, you know, Tobogo. Just give us an insight into the kind of support that he has been getting from the state, if any, that has aided him to, you know, win this Olympic gold medal for the country.
It's big. The government of Botswana, it's involved in sport 100%, and is the financier of all the sporting codes, including football, that we still remember the AFCON 2012 where we participated in. But when it comes to athletics, we have the Botswana National Sports Commission that is under the Minister of Youth, Sports, Gender and Culture that is funded by the government, and they put money to Botswana Athletics Association, which then they channel the money in terms of helping the athletes prepare. That is number one. Number two, the government of Botswana, immediately all of our athletes that are at the Olympics, when they qualified, the day they qualified, they were entitled to a salary or an aid that is 8,300 pula per month so that they can be able to sustain themselves for that duration. They can be able to keep up wherever they are. So that is the money. The day you qualify, if you qualify, let's say the Olympics in 2028, and then the qualifiers, they open quickly, then you just in the, you get a lot of money that you're getting from the government. So that's what has been happening.
Just for clarity, though, you're saying that the athletes that qualify for the Olympics, the very moment they qualify for the Olympics, they were put on a monthly salary to sustain them till the Olympics.
8,300 pula from the government of Botswana.
So 8,300 Botswana currency, I understand, right? How much is that in maybe in dollars? Yeah. You want to convert that in dollars?
In dollars, that should be around four. Yeah, because it's double. I think somewhere there. Yeah.
Mm. But I think what's
but with the living standard here in Botswana, it's just good money. Because it's just way about the money that would say it's a minimum wage for those that are working. So it's just good money, and most of them, they have accommodation in Gaborone. Where they're staying, where their facility. And we also had another sponsor. When you look at Little, he's always on Orange Spikes because he's sponsored by a telecommunication Orange Botswana. So they did also pump money in helping Little to be there.
Well, that's really, really amazing. But let's talk about Letley himself. What promises or what has been arranged for him? Because we understand there's been some juicy packages that have been promised by the government for him following that victory.
Litile is entitled to a house from the government of Botswana. That is a four-bedroom house that he is getting. As soon as he gets to the airport, his house should be ready and should be handed over the keys. That's number one. Number two, there is money from a franchise. It's a retail in Botswana. They've put at 1 million pula that is available for Litile. So he has 1 million pula. And he also has another money for qualifying for making it to the semifinal. That is 25,000 pula for 100 meters and 200 meters. That makes it to 50,000 pula that is going into his pocket. And trust me, we focus for at least a minimum of 3.5 million pula that Litile is going to make. A minimum, that's a minimum, not a maximum. A minimum that is likely to make when he gets back home from people that already are saying, because now everybody wants to give him something. You know, he's not into farming, he's a young boy, but people are willing to give him cakey, people are willing to give him a lot of things. So there will be that arrangement in terms of how Botswana are going to appreciate this stuff for them to say, we have also contributed in helping.
Well, that's amazing. We're just based on what you mentioned, we are talking something in the region of $75,000, you know, over there. But let's talk about what this victory will mean for the future of athletics in Botswana. I'm sure his victory, you know, has inspired many young athletes in the country. And look at him; he's just 21 years of age. So many years ahead of him, you know. Many more championships he's going to participate in,
and is looking like possibly future phase of athletics on the continent, even the world at large. Talk to me about what this means for the future of athletics in Botswana.
I'll take you back. When Nigel Amos won our first medal, that was a silver medal just behind Rhodesia. And you look since back then, that what made most of the athletes to believe in themselves and that they can actually go in there and make a living out of athletics. He was our first. We had Amantle Muntsu, of course, who won the world championship. And now when Nigel brought that medal, we started believing. We had the likes of Makwala, who came late to the party, but he had delivered exceptionally well as well. Makwala, when he came in there, Makwala was part of the team that won us a bronze medal in Tokyo. So just that, with the sponsors and the endorsements that they have with Puma, Nike, and others, our athletes, you look at the numbers that we always send in 400 meters. That has dramatically changed because everybody now believes there is a chance. Now we had athletes representing Botswana in 800 meters. We had three boys and one girl in 800 meters. That shows you we still believe that it's one of the races that we can actually take on. And we had 400 meters. We have boys who have qualified for the juniors. Remember, the boy that is anchoring our relay now, not Litsile. Litsile has been there as a world junior, of course. He has been to the juniors. But we had another two boys that are with the team. Colin Kibina Tipi, he's coming from the juniors, was at the World Junior Championship. We also have Anthony Purcell holding the record. So these are young boys that they believe this is the time for them to shine. And I think everybody that is here, they now think athletics is the best way for a better life in Botswana.
Well, amazing. Solomon, we want to appreciate you very much for your time.
You know, maybe before we part ways, all the team members that won bronze in Turkey, they have houses. So if they win another medal tomorrow in the relay, they're going to get extra two houses for them. That is cadres of the government of Botswana. So these are things that, you'd struggle a lot to get a house that is valued around 1.2, 1.4 million rupees. In the most beautiful spaces in the city.
Well, oh. it sounds really exciting to be an athlete in Botswana, and maybe you might have to count.
Not always, man.
Make a talent zone. Make a talent zone. Z. Botswana sport. Botswana. You sport.
Solomon.
Cantonment houses.
Solomon. Solomon.
Tomorrow, someone is about to win.
Yes.
Okay. So Solomon, just a moment. Solomon, just a moment. Right. I recall the last world championships, right? In fact, the last three championships. The trajectory of Sebogo. Oh, it appears Solomon has problem with his network. Okay. So I just want to understand this, considering the consistency of Sebogo in the last 3-4 years. He was asked a question whether he wants to be the face of athletics in the world. He said, no, Noala should be the face. Solomon, are you with us?
I think we've lost him.
Unfortunately, yes.
Daddy K. Yo, Daddy K, talk.
I think the network is not so strong. Solomon, if you can hear us, we just.
I don't know what was happening with my network. I'm
back. Wait till I really talk.
We seem to be struggling to reconnect with Solomon there. But Solomon, all the same, thank you very much. Hopefully we can get to talk more in our subsequent bulletins. Hopefully later tonight on Prime we'll try and talk to you. Solomon, so thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. And we wish you the very best. Hopefully we'll reconnect later this evening. Yeah.
We'll definitely make that time. Let's hope our boys they win a medal at the finals in the 4x4. Because they stand a very good chance, then we'll have a conversation tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much, Solomon. Thank you very much, Solomon. They're joining us all the way from Botswana. Great. Now, guys, Charlie, house.
Musbao.
Yeah. I hear some people, they promised the guy, say they will give him. Yeah, he said they'll give him what? Is it a confirm or something? Did he say a confirm?
No, I mean, the promise too. Plenty of them will come.
The franchise one he said was that he's entitled to, I think, 2 million cedis.
2 million pula.
Overall, the minimum was 3 million pula.
Yeah.
You see, the people in Botswana.
So 3 million pula, that would be 250.
You see, the people in Botswana, they don't have two heads. You see, money doesn't fall from the sky for them to take care of some of these things.
their leaders, no, they didn't go to a special course on another planet before they were put there. What they have are thoughtful and caring leaders. Everywhere, every country has their consolidated fund. Like, you see the consolidated fund, the one that when Black Stars are coming to play, the sports ministry, hey, we need money, then they... Every country has it. But the difference between those who are able to set money aside is that they think. Like, they don't sleep on the job. They don't waste money on... They think. And when they think, they come up with modules. Some of them will work. Some of them will not work. But over time, they will find a sustainable path or revenue streams that allows them to fund some of these things. So when they say that when you qualify for the Olympics, the very day you secured qualification, you become eligible to access a certain fund. It is not an afterthought. It is not that after you qualify for the Olympics, they have to go and beg and lobby the finance ministry that will give something to these guys. So that when the finance ministry says we don't have money to take care of Rosie Ebue's coach, then the country, they think.
Actually, let me just take a quick break. Let me take a quick break, play some few commercials, then we'll come and wrap up the conversation because the guys look very excited about what's happening in Botswana. And, well, interesting. All right, so let's just take a quick break. This is the game plan. You can send your messages on 055-111-997 and we'll read them for you when we return from this very, very quick break.
This is what the Olympics is all about.
Get closer to split-second wins. Closer to history in the making.
He's a marvel now.
Closer to your champions.
The greatest athletic achievements of all time.
Get DStv to get closer to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games from 26 July to 11 August with 9 dedicated channels for the best coverage of every medal and every podium moment. On Supersport on DStv, your home of entertainment.
Let go of the overpriced land, home ownership, and furnishing deals. Get the best deals for all your housing needs at one place. Visit the Ecobank Joy News Mini Fair at Good Park, Accra Mall, from 30th of August till the 1st of September 2024. The fair is open from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. daily, and admission is free. Be there to engage with various stakeholders in the housing value chain for your home ownership needs. Ecobank Joy News Habitat Fair. Get a house, make it a home. The Ecobank Joy News Habitat Fair is in partnership with Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank, and powered by the Plan City Extension Project from Citizen Habitats, Rent to Own, and sponsored by Elegant Homes, where quality meets value, safety and home solutions. You think of a door, we have it. G&J Technical Services, G&J, the Generator People, Dev Traco Woodlands, a master-planned gated city, DPS Pipes, connecting you to life. Home World Building Supplies, let's build together. Global Lighting, your solution to quality lighting. Superlog, you deserve the best. Everlast UPVC Windows and Doors, the right choice for windows and doors. Syntex Tank, Aya Strong, Aya Tough, Less Fortune Limited. Curtains Pack Peppy, luxuriously perfect. DBS Roofing Industry, your roof expert. Virtual Security, complete security solution. Yobank Security Doors, protecting lives and properties. And Clifton Homes, beautiful homes, wise investment. Ecobank Joy News Habitat Fair. Get a house, make it a home.
If home is where the heart is, then let's go home, shall we? Let's go where the entertainment is. Where the passion is. Where the laughter is. And sometimes, even the tears too. Let's go where we feel safe enough to share our opinions.
And send tweets.
Where we do that embarrassing little dance to our favorite song. Let's go home, where the love, the care, and the joy live.
There's no place like home. Connect your home to super fast internet with affordable data bundles from MTN Home. Visit broadband.mtn.com.gh or your My MTN app to sign up today. MTN.
Water is life. Sanitation is dignity. Climate change threatens both.
Join Joy News, WaterAid, and the Greater Accra Metropolitan Area Sanitation and Water Project as we host a national dialogue on climate resilient, safe, and sustainable WASH services delivery. Hear from political leaders on their plans to prioritize WASH in our national agenda. Be a part of the dialogue and let's chart a path towards prioritizing WASH in our national development agenda as we approach election 2024. Together, let's ensure a sustainable and resilient future for all. The date, 13th of August 2024. The time, 4 p.m. Venue, Nat Hall in Accra. It will be live on Joy 99.7 FM, Joy News, and around the world on myjoyonline.com, as well as our social media platforms. Join us. Be the change. WASH Dialogue 2024.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumase KNUSD Campus, UC CC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Game Plan. My name is Razak Musbah. We've got the boys here. Let me just share this with you very shortly as we wrap up in the next 15 minutes. We've seen some of your messages. We'll try and read them out. But remember that Chopbox revolutionizes students' life by delivering textbooks, provisions, and birthday packages straight to campus. So save time and hassle. With easy ordering via website, apps, or phone, students can focus on what matters. Chopbox Plaques extends convenience, offering wholesale delivery to homes or businesses. It's not just a platform, it's a lifeline for busy students, professionals, and families in Ghana. So experience the convenience. Call 030-223-9134 or 053-047-4694 or visit www.chopboxonline.com and download the Chopbox Online app and enjoy the convenience that comes with it. Now, Nana JD and the Touching Hearts Ministry present For All Timis 2024, that the fellowship, an evening of profound word, worship, prayer, and praise in God's presence, an avenue to raise funds to relieve vulnerable postpartum mothers, happening this Sunday, 11th of August at 4 p.m. At the Junction Mall, Nungwa. You don't want to miss this experience, so make sure you find your way there at the Junction Mall this Sunday at 4 p.m. Come and let's raise funds for this all-important initiative. And also, the Habitat Fair is coming up. So let go of the overpriced land, home ownership, and furnishing deals. Get the best deals for all your housing needs at one place. Visit the Echo Bank Joy News Mini Fair at the Good Park near Accra Mall from 30th of August to the 1st of September 2024. The fair is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and admission is free. Be there to engage with various stakeholders in the housing value chain for your home ownership needs. Echo Bank Joy News Habitat Fair. Get a house, make it a home. The Echo Bank Joy News Habitat Fair is in partnership with Echo Bank, the Pan-African Bank, and Pied buying the planned city extension project from Cities and Habitat. Rent to own and sponsored by Elegant Homes, where quality meets value, safety and home solutions. You think of a door, we have it. GNJ Technical Services, GNJ, the generator people, Def Traco Woodlands, a master planned gated city, DPS Pipes, connecting you to life, Home World Building Supplies, Let's Build Together, Global Lighting, your solution to quality lighting, Super Lock, you deserve the best, Everlast UPVC Windows and Doors, the right choice for windows and doors, Syntex Tank, Air Strong, Air Top, Lesh Fortune Limited, Curtains, be luxuriously perfect. DBS Roofing Industry, your roof expert, virtual security, complete security solution, your bend security doors, protecting lives and properties. And of course, Clifton Homes, beautiful homes, wise investment. EcoBank, join us Habitat Fair, get a house, make it a home. And remember, it's from the 30th of August to the 1st of September at the Good Park near Accra Mall. Make a date. Guys, let me come to Achu. You have something to say very briefly. And then Daniel also has something to say about the Black Princesses. And then Sicho will conclude with the community shield happening tomorrow between Manchester City and Manchester United. Likewise, Mufta.
As I was saying, the things that our brother from Botswana has been explaining, they are not beyond us. Look, we are not broke to the point where we can't afford some of these things. No. The difference between what we have here is that their leadership there, beyond talking about these things, they take in those, all of these rough sketches that people like to throw about in times like this, make sense out of it, find a way of creating a revenue source that is sustainable. Now, the state cannot invest in every athlete in the country, but you can do for your elite athletes. You can have a pool of 10 or 20 national sprinters, 5 or 6 or 10 high jumpers, long jumpers, right? So that for them, the moment they start meeting competitive marks, you put them on a salary. You take care of their competitions. The nonsense of Azamati having to find his own money to go and participate in some relays, world relays or whatever, before later we... it is rubbish. It shouldn't happen. But because there is no fund dedicated for some of these things, when they make the request, at the time they make the request, or even at the time the events are happening, they know that there is not a quarter of the GOC or anybody paying for you. So if there is any conversation, it will be after you have qualified. That is when you negotiate from a position. But you see, no athlete should be negotiating in terms of money to enter into a competition. These things, they are doable. It doesn't cost $100 million per year to fund athletics. Nobody is saying that. Find a way to do this. And you see, the unfortunate thing for us is this. And I'm going to give an advice to all of these our athletes. They don't have time on their hands. Saminu, naturalize. Quick. Don't think twice about it.
We are finding solutions.
What we do, people cannot put their careers on hold.
Yeah, we are finding solutions.
Because, there is evidence of people's careers stagnating, in some cases dropping off, because of the poor support system or the lack of it here. Azamati is an example. Deborah Kwa for 2 years has not been competing because between the GOC, Sports Ministry, and at Ghana Athletics, they can't seem to agree on who made the promise to her for her to have a surgery. So until they set their egos aside and calm down and say that, okay, now let's attend to her. Her career is on. She's done. She's 28 now. She's done. And it's not like I'm cursing or anything, but if she's not fit, how is she going to train? Let alone compete. And when she decides to train, you think all of those athletes she was beating 3 or 4 years ago, you think they've also put their career on pause? Rosie Aboa had only one, between June and July, there was only 1 month where she did not have her coach to train with. And that difference, that 1 month was the difference between her and an Olympic medal. Because she cleared a height of 1.97 in June. And then we sent her to Cape Coast.
You can't say even June 24th. Qualified.
Her reward for all that she did was we sent her to Cape Coast and we told her, we don't have money for your coach. Oh, but as for the sports minister, we'll find money for him. all we are saying is these things need to be done. Find a revenue source.
Mm.
You have failed. We get it. You don't know the job. We get it. But you have seen others excel. Just copy.
All right.
Is that hard?
And in fact, just a quick one. I don't know if someone mentioned this. One of my colleagues in Botswana just sent me a document of their gender and culture minister plus sports that actually said that each athlete who qualified was given qualification bonus of about $4,000 just for qualifying, apart from the salary.
Qualify is good. If you're from Botswana, it's not just two. It's a great deal.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So to qualify. So Ghana here too, no? Rose then thinks they should have had money for qualifying.
Yeah.
The boys who went to the 100 meter semi-final.
They should
have had money and for qualifying. Ah, but what are you talking about? You go and play.
So in fact,
you go and play AFCON, go and play against Cape Verde. They'll tell you that beat Cape Verde, you get winning bonus. Are you serious? You go and play against Mozambique. They'll be promised that if you beat Mozambique,
you get qualification bonus.
But somebody is running to qualify for an Olympic semis, 100 meter sprint. That person, nothing.
No, and just a quick one, Osicho. Not to put the Ghana Tourism Authority on the chopping board.
Everybody,
the money we give to them to go and advertise this country to the world. What these boys have done for just the 2 weeks they've been there. Imagine we were to pay the Ghana Tourism Authority. Couldn't we have just used just a token of that money and given to these athletes that you are going to the championships as ambassadors of this country?
Do you know how much it costs to fly down a Grammy-nominated artist to Ghana?
Okay.
Do you know how much it costs?
No.
Daniel,
but they
just
find the money all the time.
Well, interesting. But I completely agree that, look, Rose Yeboah, despite the
not despite, for just qualifying alone,
yes,
you should have gotten something.
Rose Yeboah should be getting something.
See, do an audit of
Saminu
how much
should
we
be
spent
getting
on
something.
The year of return. Eh? The
Saminu
return.
Should be getting something.
The year of return.
Azamati semi-final should be getting something. In fact, all the... Daniel, you can't. We've got like 8 minutes.
I just want to say that. I just want to say that 2 days ago, when they paid the Black Princesses, they want us to give them fans. But we won't give them fans because that was your job from day one. You didn't do it. These girls have struggled. The day they were leaving Cape Coast.
A lot of money. The money's are
look,
finished.
If you saw the hotel they were sleeping in Cape Coast, if you saw the facilities they had to train with at Cape Coast, totally abysmal. Very sad. But the day they were leaving Cape Coast back to Accra before they leave to Colombia for the World Cup, that's when they say now they've paid them the money. Then they want us to give them fans. But we won't give them fans because you've done a very poor job. A very, very poor job. And we'll remember. So when the girls go and they qualify from the group stages, we'll see your pictures and we'll see your Facebook posts and we'll see your political agenda and we'll come for you. I'm just saying it. That will come for you. Because you can't wait until the last minute and then throw the money and say that. In fact, that the money itself, it was reviewed. That one I can argue. Because as at the time it was being agreed, they say 6K.
Yeah.
But as time elapsed and they went to review, then, but you see, because the girls are broke and they were hungry. No, to be frank, they were broke and they're hungry, they were suffering. They would take it like
they
that.
Were owing,
and
but they had borrowed.
And they had borrowed too. So they'll take it like that. So that's fine. But again, we will not give them fans. They are not serious. They should repent. Because this thing,
just to add that Hazaka's ladies have also arrived in Cote d'Ivoire for their, WAFU championship there. Well, Sisha, let me just bring you in. Tomorrow, Community Shield, just quick thoughts on that. United, Manchester City.
Look, I think that Man United's new owners have been very slow in the market. They've not done the manager any service at all because it's very likely Ten Hag is going to start the next season or coming season with the same players he ended the last one. No real sign of improvement. They brought in Euro, he's injured. Zegzi doesn't solve the goal scoring problem. He's a good player to have as a squad player. Grow through it, fight for his place, bring on when you want. But that is all the manager has got. To make it worse, he has some very, at the moment, with the squad that he's got, some very important players injured. Maguire, Luke Shaw, Lindelof might not be available. And even if they are, it means they would have to be beating fitness tests very late to make it to the game. So Man United have been very poor. What the Ineos are doing is not different from what Glazers have done. I think that the season starts, they fumble a couple of games, they panic buy, and then we are back to factory settings. But for Man City, it's a very settled squad. The unfortunate thing for Pep Guardiola is that he hasn't had a lot of time to train with or play with his more important players. Foden has been away, Kevin De Bruyne has been away, Rodri has been away, Diaz has been away, but they are now all returning. So City are by far, in an advantage position coming into the game, but I suspect that Pep Guardiola will give a lot of the young players he saw, like we saw I think last year as well gave some of the young players opportunity to play in the Community Shield. But City are favourites. I think that they are going to win it. And even if Man United wins the Community Shield, it means nothing to what is to come in the season, because they've been very slow in the market. And before coming on to the show, we heard that Chelsea have moved in quickly to sign Wolverhampton Wanderers Pedro Neto for 60 million euros with 3 million add-on clause. Those are some of the deals I think that will help the Chelsea club. But United have been very slow. And I think even if they win, it means nothing. But City are favourites, clear favourite to win, and maybe by some margin.
Well, pretty much that's it for today's show. Pretty much that's it. That's a game with the, is that Heart of Oak and what? The Heart of Lions?
Oh, no, right. Bechim United is some friendly match.
No, there's a home war game, be like that.
Heart of Lions. No, Accra Lions.
Accra Lions, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Accra Lions.
Home war cup. I think that's on Sunday.
Yeah,
right?
It should be on Sunday also.
On Sunday.
Karim.
Oh, what do you want to do? Yeah, he said it's Heart of Lions.
Heart of Lions.
So, so you can go and catch up with that. And also, well, CAF, former president Isaiah too also passed on. Yeah. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday. He died in France.
France.
In fact, he was supposed to turn 78 today. Actually,
today. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He passed on yesterday.
He had quite a long reign at CAF.
Yeah, about 29 years as CAF president. A huge figure in African football. At the point, he acted as FIFA president. In fact, he was the acting FIFA president when Gianni Infantino won the elections and came into power. He has always been a man that, over the years, was quite tough. They said he was not the figure that FIFA could manipulate. But now FIFA has taken over African football. Whatever that means, you cannot tell. But if you allow FIFA to come in, install Ahmad Ahmad and later Gianni Infantino, Dr. Patrice Motsepe. Do you recall that the last CAF elections, they didn't hold elections because FIFA went and negotiated that they should make Patrice Motsepe the president, so there was no vote.
So indeed.
I can also say that since FIFA aligned with CAF, or CAF aligned with FIFA, CAF competitions and CAF has been better. The standards are better than when Isaiah actually didn't allow FIFA to come in. So maybe sometimes partnerships. And look where we are. Mamu need to know. You need to see the football.
No. I do not subscribe to the fact that FIFA president will send his people to go and negotiate with Augustin Senghor not to contest for the position of president, to go to Botswana and go and negotiate
did they force them?
That's politics.
That's politics.
When UEFA went to FIFA to go and lobby, that they suspect that Real Madrid and Juventus and Barca will bring the Super League to him, so he shouldn't subscribe to it.
Was it wrong?
Was it not lobbying? If FIFA are lobbying,
we are talking about election here.
Yes, I'm saying politics.
An institution that is supposed to be independent from you.
Is CAF better now than it was before or not?
Are you telling me that it is okay for the America to come and tell us that Ghana don't hold an election? Let's make someone president.
What I'm saying is I'm asking you a simple question. Is CAF better now with its competitions than it was before or not?
I disagree.
It's a yes or no. It's not a disagree.
I'm not going to ask a yes or no. Because I disagree with you.
You're
putting me in the corner to say yes or
no. I'm not telling you what you're saying. He's not telling you what you're saying.
I beg. I want to wish my girlfriend a happy birthday before I leave.
Baby girl.
It's a concubine, please.
Charlie, you are mine.
Let's do that. And let's
go.
I'm a man.
Have to do that.
Oh, happy birthday to Abigail. And I just want to wish her a blessed year ahead. Yeah.
She's my concubine. Your wife is listening.
Charlie, what you mean?
If she's listening so much, she's my concubine.
He's okay.
Oh, no, he's allowed
to. All right, guys, thank you so much for being part of the show. This has been Game Plan. My name is Razak Musbah. We're going to be back same time next week. Do make a date. And, of course, up next is the Drive Time, and the team is already here. And, we'll meet on Prime, on Joy News Prime at 8:30 for all that has also taken place in the Olympic Games. Thank you very much.